Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went along with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who would redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer all these things and then enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things that about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Come our light and illumine our darkness. Come our life and revive us from death. Come our physician and heal us. Come our love and our King, and rest upon our hearts, kindling our hearts to love you and to love one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Happy Easter to everyone. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Or in the words of Matt Nagy, Jesus Christ is alive today. Do you believe? If it seems strange to you that I am beginning the sermon with Easter greetings, well, know that Easter is not just a day. It is a season in our church calendar, also known as Eastertide or the Great 50 days. We have 12 days of Christmas and we have 50 days of Easter. This is a season and a time of celebration and joy when we emphasize and highlight resurrection. But I ask you, do you feel joyful this day? Is this really a time of celebration? I do not know about each of you, but for me, things have been up and down these last week or so. There have been times when I have truly felt grateful, blessed, peaceful, hopeful. And there have also been times when I have just felt weary, fearful, sad. How are you feeling this day? These are definitely difficult, unprecedented times. And whatever you're feeling is normal as each of us try to cope. For now, we just cannot go back to what we have always been doing. But so many of you are still doing great acts of service, even during these days and times. For many of you, you are still reaching out to others, making phone calls, sending cards, having Zoom meetings with others. Many families have stepped up to make meals and lunches for friends of the homeless. Some of you are making masks for those who are on the front lines fighting this COVID-19 virus. And many of you are saying prayers for each other and saying prayers from the requests that have come into the church. There are so many of you who are finding new ways and different ways to connect to others, to remember others, to be present with others in these days of distancing and isolation. The banner outside our church reads, "Church happens beyond these walls." And I just want to take a minute to thank each of you for the ways that you are still being the church, for making church happen beyond these walls. For it matters. Our connection to others, our presence with others matters. You all know what it means to have someone remember you, to have someone show up for you, and to be with you in one form or another, in one way or another, especially during difficult times. In seminary, I was taught that people may not always remember what you say, but they will remember if you are there. Presence matters. Real presence matters. And it matters when we give our presence to others, and it matters when Christ gives his presence to us. Today we are going to focus on Christ's presence. Christ's presence on that first Easter day, and Christ's presence for us here and now. And as we talk about Christ's presence, we're going to turn the channel to the Gospel of Luke. Here is the scene. Easter morning is over. The tomb is empty, and the women who have come to the tomb first have seen that Christ's body is gone. And they have gone and told the apostles the news. And Peter comes to witness for himself that the tomb is empty. For those present on that first Easter day, there is much confusion, fear, disbelief, amazement. They have a lot of mixed emotions, just as we have a lot of mixed emotions this day. Where is Christ now? What is he doing? What is he saying? We soon find answers to these questions. The story that we hear this day from the Gospel of Luke is known as the Walk to Emmaus. It is later on that first Easter day, and two disciples are making the 7-mile walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. We really do not know anything about these two disciples, except that one of them is named Cleopas. We can imagine that they are walking with heavy hearts, disappointment at what has happened to Jesus. This walk for them is not the last dance. It is for them what they think is the end of the dance, the end of the story. A story that has turned out not like they thought or expected. So they are going to Emmaus, and no one is really quite sure where Emmaus is. But maybe that is not that important. The writer Frederick Buechner interprets Emmaus in this way. He says, it is the place we go in order to escape. A bar, a movie, wherever it is where we throw up our hands and say, let the whole thing hang. What difference does it make anyway? Emmaus is whatever we do or wherever we go to make ourselves forget that the world holds nothing sacred, that even the wisest and bravest and loveliest decay and die. That even the noblest ideas that people may have, ideas of love, freedom, justice, have always been in time twisted out of shape by selfish people for selfish ends. So what we have is two mysterious disciples walking on a road to a mysterious place, and then a mysterious stranger joins them in this journey. The stranger is, of course, the risen Christ. Jesus appears to them seemingly out of the blue. We know who he is, but the disciples do not recognize him. And so the three of them walk and they talk and they catch up on current events. And Jesus rebukes them for their lack of faith and then opens up the scriptures and shows them Moses and the prophets and all of scripture to interpret what has happened to him. But still, the disciples do not recognize Jesus, even though their hearts are burning inside of them. And so they come to the village where the disciples are going, and they ask Jesus to stay and be with them a little bit longer. And then they sit down to eat a meal. And it is at this meal that Jesus takes the bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. And he gives it to the disciples. And it is then that their eyes are opened. Jesus is known to the disciples in the breaking of the bread. Where is Jesus? What is he doing? He is here in the midst of communion always. Jesus is the one who always presides over the Lord's Supper. For United Methodists, we believe in the real presence of Christ whenever we have communion. Holy Communion is not just about remembering Christ and remembering what he has done. It is about grace and love and forgiveness. And in some mysterious way, Christ is present in this meal, offering this gift to us. We believe in an open table where all are invited to come and be in the presence of God to receive all the gifts that he offers us in this meal. But part of our sadness, I think, this day, in this time of social distancing, is that we are not able to take communion with each other, to have a meal together. We are missing the opportunity to see and hear and interact with Christ through this sacred meal. But Holy Communion is not our only access to the risen Christ. What I like most about this walk to Emmaus story, and what really amazes me about Christ's appearances after he rises from the tomb, is just how he appears and disappears in random ways. He comes and he goes with no rhyme or reason. We catch a glimpse of him and then he is gone. And the truth of the matter is that it is always Christ who comes to us, who seeks us, who pursues us, who comes to us. It is God who always finds us. We do not find God. One of my best friends, a person that I have known for over 45 years, died earlier this year from cancer. He fought this cancer like a champion, enduring over 15 operations in his battle. But in his last moments, when the end was near, he was surrounded by his family, and he turned and looked in a complete state of calmness and said to his mother, "Mom, the Lord is near." And these were his final words. My friend was surrounded by his family at his death. But there are so many these days who are seemingly dying alone. But I believe that none of us ever dies alone. It is the Lord, I believe, who comes to us as much as any time and anywhere in the midst of death to give us peace, to give us mercy, and to lead us through this last part of our journey. When I was in high school, I used to attend a young life group at my school that was led by two of our religion teachers. So our religion teachers and a group of students would gather each week, and we would sing spiritual songs. And then we would have a lesson or a talk, and then we would have a time of prayer. And there's one meeting that stands out in particular. As we began the meeting, things were a little bit more chaotic than usual. People were socializing a lot, and there was jokes and some goofing around. But then we sang a song. And it was a song that said these words: "Sing to the power of the Lord, come down. Now let us sing. Sing to the power of the Lord, come down. Now let us sing. Lift up your voice, be not afraid. Sing to the power of the Lord, come down." And it was after we sang this song that it really did begin to feel like the power of God had come to us, like Christ was actually in the midst of our meeting. The mood of the meeting changed. Things became more meaningful, more holy, more sacred. And at the end of the meeting, no one wanted the meeting to end. Has Christ ever made an appearance in your life? Have you ever been in a small group, a worship service, had a conversation with a friend, had a time in your prayer when your heart started burning, when things just seemed to become more sacred and holy, when you gained some new understanding or wisdom or perspective that you did not have before? Maybe part of our work during the slowdown from the pandemic is to create space and time to be looking and listening for Christ's real presence in our lives today. Christ is alive. He is not always easily recognizable, but he is still acting and moving. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "God is the good shepherd who always goes out to look for the lost sheep. God wants to find us as much as we want to find God." And perhaps the question is not how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by God? The question is not how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known by God? In my readings about communion this past week for this sermon, I came across a story about a young girl who came up to take communion at church with her parents. And she received a piece of the bread to dip into the cup. But when she looked down, she saw that the piece was small, and she began to cry out loudly, "I want more. I want more." And it raises the question, do you long to know Christ more? Do you cry out for more of his presence, for his words in your life? How can we let ourselves be known and be found? By the real presence of Christ, who continually seeks us, pursues us, and comes to us in our journey of life. Jesus is alive. Today, do you believe? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.